complicated for many families to bring a new person into the family, a new spouse, an adoption, and so on. Why is it more complicated for family business families?
It's complicated for family business families to bring a new person into the family, and we can talk about who those new people are, because families have a set kind of structure that they get used to, and almost any change in the family causes a kind of anxiety, even happy changes. So, for example, the birth of a child, a wedding, an adoption, any kind of change in the family is a disruption to the family system. It changes the relationships that family members have with each other. And so in a family business, what happens is that because there's the business also that is the center point for the family and the family's focus, the family members can get more anxious about changes because they're in a political system, they're in an ownership relationship with the business that they have to deal with each other every day. And therefore those changes, those little disruptions become even more disruptive or can be with family business families.
So I can imagine for someone coming into a business family, let's just say an adult spouse or partner coming into a family, they may have no idea how complicated it is what they're going into, or are people often surprised by how their entrance changes or reflects in some way in the family, business family?
New entrants to the family are often surprised in business families. New entrants to the families are often surprised because they don't understand kind of the rules of engagement that business families in particular have to have. So, for example, in a family in the South, the successor to the business brought his young wife into the family, and she was very outgoing, very gregarious, and she liked to post pictures of herself, particularly pictures of herself in the institutions in the town that were named after the family, that had been donated by the family. And the rest of the family was horrified. And they thought she was rude, crude, and that she was clueless, and she had no idea. So there was a kind of a mutual disruption that happened there, all with good intentions, where she thought she was doing something great, and the family thought that what she was doing was not appropriate for their status in the community.
So how bad can a disruption get if that person had no idea what she was doing? Like, what are the stakes? Why does somebody being kind of not aware or cultural mismatch or different in some way, why does that potentially lead to bad things?
So what happens is that for example, I just use this family as an example, when something like that happens and there's a kind of faux pas, a cultural faux pas, then her sisters-in-law then got upset with her. And then there began to be jealousy when the sister's mother, the matriarch, spent time with the children of this new person. And then the sisters got upset with that. So what happens is it's a little bit of a domino effect. As soon as one new person gets labeled in a certain way as a disruptor, let's just say, then the rest of the family can mobilize and work in unconscious ways to kind of move that person out to the side. Now, the problem is, in this case, because it was a spouse of the successor to the business, then that leads to problems in the business, because then the successor's wife is being ostracized by other members of his family, which is not acceptable. So that's the case where it can kind of blow up. Lots of times spouses get a bad rap in family businesses for exactly this reason, because they come in and they have not a great notion of what it means to the kind of rules of engagement to be a business family member. And then what happens is that they wind up being labeled as the troublemakers. They wind up as carrying the baggage of some of the issues in the family, without really knowing about it, without really knowing that that's what they're doing. They thought they were marrying this person and would have control over their household. But in fact, when you marry into a business family, lots of times you don't have control over things that you expected to have control over.
Well, I'm going to talk about both sides of that equation, the family and the new entrant. Let's talk about the new entrant, the new spouse or partner first. So how do you prepare yourself to not unwittingly stir things up, but also not lose your own identity and who you are in joining a family that perhaps, you know, has a really large and established culture? How do you stay you, but also respect the family you're going into?
Well, the question for the spouse of how you keep your own identity in a family business is really tricky because, and people handle it different ways. Some people keep their distance. They basically kind of stay away from all of the drama in the family business, if there is some. And they may show up for particular events, but they don't really get involved. They try to stay distant from it. Other people just jump right in. They learn the culture. They become essential members of the business, of the enterprise. They may be involved in the foundation, and they become spokespeople for the family and for the family business. That happens often. But sometimes what happens is that people have this uncomfortable relationship with the family business. It's almost like the family business is some kind of a familial figure who is always waving their finger at the spouse and saying, no, 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 you can't do that. Or no, your children can't do that. No, your children have to go to a particular kind of school. And no, you can't wear this in public. And no, you can't go out drinking with your friends and, you know, in a bar at 11 o'clock at night because people might talk. And that becomes pretty intolerable for many spouses coming in. So again, it's not fair, and many business spouses are incredibly helpful and productive members of the family, and in the best cases, they bring that outside culture of their own family into the family business, and that makes it stronger, makes the business family stronger. But it's very challenging, and spouses are not the only people who join. Interestingly, when people get married, they also bring in-laws, and the in-laws can be a source of tension too, because once their children born, then there becomes this kind of push me, pull you relationship, because now the children who were supposed to be part of the business family, right? They're important successor candidates for the business family, but they also have this other family that they're part of. And there can be a lot of tension around in-laws and grandchildren as a result of that what's supposed to be that magnetic pull of the business family that's supposed to incorporate everyone into that unit as opposed to other family units.
I can't help but think about the royal family for both of those examples that you just talked about. Let's just use William and Kate. It's, you know, the press has certainly suggested that her family, her parents, who seem to be discreet and following, you know, all of the protocol that they're supposed to, are where the love and the culture comes, you know, the culture that he wants in his own family comes from, but they're doing it within the family rules of the royal family. And with Meghan and Harry, in-laws, you know, Meghan maybe has had some challenges fitting into the family business, let's put it that way. And she brought in-laws. She brought a father who doesn't follow any of the rules and a mother who does, and the complexities of that. I can imagine you can see it enacting out with that group of people right away.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that's a, you know, that may seem like a far-fetched example, but it's actually not, because many business families have a very visible role to play in the communities that they live in. And so they are very visible, and they are viewed in some ways like a kind of royalty. You know, they're ceremonial. They come to community ceremonial events, and the best families also understand the importance of ceremony and understand the importance of ritual. And so the new people need to figure out how to behave appropriately to that kind of ceremonial role.
Have you ever advised informally or thought in your head, this family's too difficult to marry into, so no one should do it? I was curious, has it ever seemed an impossible task to marry into a family business that's so strong on culture and so rejects outsiders that it's hard to see a happy marriage? Or is there always the possibility of a happy ending if people understand what's happening?
Oh, I think there's always a possibility for happy ending, because a lot of this has to do with communication, right? When families, business families incorporate new people in a healthy way, what happens is there's enough communication about how people behave and why, and enough respect for boundaries around, you know, each person's nuclear family and what the decision-making about their children, there's respect for boundaries and there's communication so that there doesn't have to be this kind of mismatch or the sense of people giving up too much when they're in the family, business family unit. So it can work. And in the case of the young woman that I spoke about in the family who came in, one of the things that the family was able to do is they took a personality test. So each of the family members showed a profile in the DISC profile. And as it turned out, she was the only one who was out in this extroverted I quadrant of, and everyone else was down in these much more introverted places. And so when the family saw that, what happened was, and we talked about it, what happened was that the family then understood that she needed a certain kind of environment to be energetic, to be positive, to be outgoing, and that she was different and that they needed her energy and her positivity, you know, could be a good thing. So having a conversation about what's expected, having a conversation about respecting boundaries is really critical when new folks come into the family, even small ones, babies through birth or adoption. There needs to be conversation about what's going to happen and who's going to make the decisions about the child and what the expectations are.
So I'm going to come back and ask you about the small ones, a small entrance to the family, but let me ask you to be concrete about the spouses or partners coming into the family. What are things you would recommend on both sides for the new person coming in and for the family that they think about doing early on when it's clear this person's going to be part of the family that can set them up to succeed? You talked about communication, but what specifically? How do we have those conversations? How do we get to the point of doing a DISC profile? How do you begin to acknowledge what's happening in a way that can be constructive for everybody?
Right. So to be a little bit more specific, one of the things that our client families do sometimes, which is really helpful, is they invite fiancés into their family council meetings or into family business meetings so that they get a sense of what the business is about. They get a sense of how the family relates to the business, and they can ask questions and they get a much better sense of what those unspoken rules are. If they go to a couple of those meetings and they're able to participate, that's a big plus. The second thing is to have a conversation about what the expectations of in-laws are. Are they allowed to serve on committees? Are they going to have access to certain kinds of information or not? And to set those expectations really clearly and to do it early on. So the family would sit down and say, in our family, in-laws are full members. You get to see all the information of the business and we'll answer any questions that you have. And we expect you to hold things confidential so that there's a full disclosure of what the expectations are. In other families, in-laws are treated as if they're not really completely inside the tent for confidential information, but that's okay as long as the in-laws understand that in advance and they understand the rationale for it. So throwing people uninformed and unprepared into those situations is what makes for sometimes a kind of rocky road.
I would imagine that things can evolve over time too. Do you advise people to start out with good intentions and learn as you go along, or does it all need to be communicated right from the beginning so that everyone's crystal clear on how it goes?
Well, the toughest one is the first spouse of the next generation, right? That's the tough one because nobody knows kind of how it's going to go and nobody's had this experience before. So oftentimes they are learning as they go. Later on, when the second next generation member gets married, et cetera, then there's some learning from the experience to say, yes, we really do have to prepare these people. Yes, we really do have to have these conversations in advance. One of the stories we hear all the time is how there's a prenup conversation before people get married. And many, many times there's no preparation for the prenup conversation. It's dropped on them, maybe by the family's attorney. And both the family member and the new spouse are kind of horrified by this requirement that they put these restrictions on their marriage. So there's a lot of conversation. Why do we need a prenup? Do we need a prenup? What are we protecting? You know, does that mean that we can't be trusted if we're a new spouse? So there's a lot of preparation that needs to happen in the beginning. So you can't really learn your way into that prenup conversation. You know, you really have to prepare for that one and really make sure that it doesn't feel like a huge insult when it happens. And oftentimes it does. It feels like an insult.
So let's talk about the role of the family member who's marrying someone, bringing a new person in. What's the right way for them to be constructive with everybody? They're the kind of conduit between the two sides. What would you advise a family member who wants to get it right and doesn't have already established rules of the road from their family? What can they do to handle it well, bringing the new person in successfully?
So some of what helps the family member who's bringing in a new spouse be successful is exactly what works in other families, which is that introduce your spouse to the family early, you know, socialize, go to dinner, you know, go allow for the spouse to spend sort of social time with your sisters and brothers or parents, just so there's a lot of opportunity to interact and a lot of opportunity for the two families, not just the new spouse, but her family also, or his family, to get to know each other. That sounds very basic, but it's very, very important in a business family as well. And then, you know, I think for business families, I think the family member who's marrying somebody, bringing them in, does need to talk with them about what the roles are and what the constraints might be, what the challenges might be. And also they need to have a conversation about boundaries, which again is hard because until you have a child, you don't understand all of the demands that will be made on you about who has access to that child and what that child, the expectations for that child is too. But as much as it's possible for the family member to really talk openly with their new spouse, that's they can't do it enough. Let's just put it that way.
So you don't advise running off to Vegas and coming home and saying, surprise, here's my new spouse.
No, and you know what? We haven't talked about this, but one of the worst surprises that disrupt family businesses, and of course, this is in almost every story about family businesses, is the parent who has lost a wife or a husband, right? The patriarch or the matriarch, or divorced or lost to death, and they suddenly appear 6 months later with a new spouse and drop that person. What a horrible experience for the new spouse on that one. But the whole step parent dynamic is really problematic. That's another new person in the family. And oftentimes the matriarch or patriarch feels guilty about it. So they don't prepare their children for it. They don't prepare the rest of the family for it. And so, of course, it's contentious right from the beginning. There's no way it can't be contentious because it's a surprise and it's extremely difficult for the family to manage.
So is there a better way for a patriarch or matriarch to bring a new step parent into the family? Is there a best case scenario of how they can manage it well so it doesn't trigger all of the bad things that can happen?
I think anytime there's a remarriage, there's always a super difficult adjustment for the family to make. And in family business, it's often worse because of the connectedness that families in business feel to each other. So I don't think that it's inevitable that there is tension, but I would say I've hardly ever seen a case where there isn't tension about a new step parent coming in to replace someone who's died or been divorced. I think that a lot of it depends on, again, how open the parent is who is getting remarried, how open they are about the relationship, how open they are about the person, how open they are to their children's feelings about the remarriage, how much conversation there is about why and who and how. So that the more conversation there is and the more preparation there is, it's the same as we were talking about before, the better it's likely to go with a step parent. And then with step parents, of course, that matters greatly how old the next generation are when the step parent comes in. But step parents have a delicate balancing act of trying to be supportive, trying to provide love and stability, but not try to replace a parent who's not there anymore.
Well, we've talked about new entrants to the family in ways that are disruptive. We call it the disruptions in the chapter, but let's talk about new entrants to the family in ways that are positive, but also disruptive. So what about, I assume babies in all forms are generally good news, but how can that play out in a way that does disrupt the family?
Well, sure. I mean, weddings are positive, babies are positive, but the thing about babies is that everybody wants to see them. Everybody wants to be special to them. And babies have several pairs of grandparents, sometimes more if there are step parents involved. And babies have aunts and uncles. And so what happens with a baby is that this family gets almost way more complicated than just one little baby would indicate that it should be, because suddenly there is a convergence of interest and attachment to that child who emotionally represents something really significant, really the continuation of the family and the possibilities for the future that no one really saw before. And so there is a lot of hope that's invested in when the next generation comes along. But there's also, you know, the sense that, who owns this baby? You know, like who's going to determine this child's legacy? And if the child is not exactly what some family members wanted it to be, if it's a child that has some kinds of learning issues, if it's a child that's growing up to be a child disruptive in behaviors, et cetera, not a perfect child, which none are, then the family can come down hard on why isn't this child the way that it's supposed to be. And when the family is so connected, that judgment about the way children should be is more likely to come. So that the healthy thing is for the family to recognize that children are very different. They may not be the way we expect them to be. Adopted children in particular have this burden to carry, because there's always this kind of sense of, well, they come from someplace else, of some family members. And so expectations may be hard for them. But yeah, babies are wonderful deliverers of joy, but they're also the opportunity for there to be a lot of expectation and demand loaded onto the parents of that child.
So let's leave with the sort of takeaways of best case scenario, the best things you can think about doing. In practical terms, what would we guide people to do? Is it for the whole family to have the conversation together before it becomes an issue for anyone? Is it a case by case basis? Give us some takeaways on how do I think about getting this right so I don't have difficult conversations down the line?
So some of the families that we work with begin to have conversations about spouses before the next generation is married, and they talk as a family, as a nuclear family, and they say, okay, so so-and-so has a serious boyfriend. Let's talk about the way we're going to deal with spouses. Are they going to be included in the meetings? Are they going to be able to work in the company? Will the family employment policy cover them? And so there are conversations before anyone is married in a nuclear family that just say, here, this is the way we want to deal with spouses. And that's hugely, hugely important. Now, almost nobody has a conversation about babies because they just go, whoa, hey, wonderful, we have a baby. But I think as much as you can prepare, the family can prepare by having conversations and also having conversations about boundaries. Which is to say, when a next generation family member is, before there's babies, when the next generation family member gets married, how is their family going to establish its own boundaries in relation to the business family, right? So you can start to have that. Are they gonna have holidays separately? Are they going to, are you going to have, you know, should mom call before she comes over to their house, or should, can mom just walk into their house? This is a big, believe me, this is a big source of tension where mom just feels she can just walk into her child's house, but that's not always the best thing to do. So conversations about expectations and conversations about boundaries, once you get those conversations going, then the new people coming in all have a really positive platform to start on. And they don't feel all the time like they're on the outside or like they are fighting for their own identity, because the family has prepared to help them keep their own identity and keep their nuclear family boundaries and not be kind of vacuumed into the family, the business family.
So the other side of the coin is if a family didn't do all that and they find themselves with difficult situations, challenges, relationships, is it possible to course correct, or is it very difficult to pull it back?
No, I think it's possible to course correct. But again, it involves the same things. And it involves being willing to sit down together and say, what are our expectations? What are people, what are our spouses uncomfortable about? You know, should we have some guidelines about, for example, walking into people's houses, you know, and really being able to tackle this. There is a point where things do go too far, and the family dynamics, the whole pattern of the family communication and relationships has kind of crystallized around these points of tension. And those are really hard to break. I don't think it's impossible. I think there's a certain amount of one-on-one conversation and family conversation that can probably help that. But I think there's always a way to make it better. Let's just put it that way. If not to sort of fix the issues of the spouse's feeling on the outside, I think there are definitely ways to make it better. And they involve meeting as a family. They involve communication. They involve setting guidelines. For example, in the case I gave before, you know, if it was clear in the beginning that social media posts using the family name were not looked well on, then that would have helped, because this young woman would not have thought that it was okay that others would judge her for doing that. So conversations, preparation, respect for boundaries are really the kind of key to this.
And then one last question, play out the long-term consequences from the family's perspective, that the family doesn't cotton to a new spouse, doesn't like, you know, how different he or she is, kind of makes it uncomfortable for them. What are the potential long-term consequences? The family must think they have all the power in that relationship, but do they? And what happens down the line if they don't ever get to a good place?
Well, of course, you can go to royalty again and say there are times when the members of the family decide that they're going to respect their marital relationship, and if it's and if that relationship is challenged by the behavior of the enterprise family, they're going to go away. And you know, one could argue they should go away to protect their own marriage and to protect their own nuclear family. And so one of the consequences is that people leave. And if they don't leave physically, they leave psychologically, and they disengage because they don't want to be part of what they consider to be a toxic culture. So that's one thing that can happen. The other thing that can happen, which is the most unfortunate, is that there are families who are locked into a kind of conflict which eventually splits the family down the middle, where there's one faction and another faction, which starts with the spouses and then the family members, the business family members, trying to protect their spouses, and so getting engaged in the difficulty and then winding up splitting the family because the spouses feel disrespected. And so that's another consequence which you really don't want to have. I'll stop there.
So on the plus side, it's really worth, even though these conversations may be hard, even thinking about that level of detail may be uncomfortable and hard, it's really important and worth it to do it in the beginning or as early as possible.
It's very important for business families to plan ahead for spouses, for the spouses that will come, and to ask themselves the questions that we've been talking about, which is how can we make sure that new spouses feel included, feel part of the family? How can we make sure that they feel respected? Can we be clear about what kind of both spoken and unspoken norms there are? You know, how can we make sure that they're going to be able to feel like and be really fully participating, positive members of this family that happens to have a business, but and so we have some different expectations. That's really important.